Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. It's really a privilege to be here again on this Christmas day. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. May the light of Christ shine in our hearts, not only during this Christmas, but always. We are here to continue in the series entitled The Sayings of Jesus. The Sayings of Jesus. And this series comes from Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And the reason for entitling this passage in this way is from Jesus' saying in Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock." So these are the sayings of Jesus. It is known as the Sermon on the Mount. So many will know this passage as the Sermon on the Mount. But the Lord has laid on my heart to entitle this series, The Sayings of Jesus. And it is based on Jesus' words in Matthew 7:24. So we are going to continue from where we left off. We are going to continue in Matthew 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. The Word of God says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you for your great love, for your new mercies. We thank you, O God, for giving us, O God, this beautiful day to come to hear your word. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that your word will be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. Your word, O God, will give us that illumination that we will not stumble along this pathway. Give us your grace, O God, and help us to be that light that you have called us to be, the light of the world, that others will see you in us and come to glorify your name. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and come to glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus is reminding us today to let our good deeds speak for us. We are called to live righteously, bringing honor to the name of our Lord. People have to see Christ demonstrated in our lives daily. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created unto good works. John 15:8 reminds us, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." So we bring glory to God when we bear much fruit, when we are displaying the character of Jesus Christ in our lives. We are glorifying the Father and showing that we are truly disciples of Christ. We are to bear the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5:22-23. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Human efforts and the law cannot produce these fruits, people of God. They are produced when we are completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 of Matthew chapter 5. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So Jesus was reminding his followers that he didn't come to destroy the law. And he's reminding us today that he hasn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He did not come to destroy the writings of the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. Jesus came to fulfill or to complete, to satisfy the righteous requirement of the law. The law of God is righteous, people of God. The law of God is holy. So only the Holy One of Israel, only Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, could really fulfill the righteous requirement of the law. The Word of God tells us in Romans 8, 3 to 4, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, human effort could not produce the righteous requirement of the law. So the Word of God tells us what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he put on humanity and he came to earth. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He was the only one who could condemn sin. When sin look at him, they see no sin. So what? There was no condemnation. He couldn't be condemned. He's the only one that could live a sinless, righteous life. He's the only one who could fulfill all the righteous requirement of the law. He is the only one that is free from sin and could stand up to sin and condemn sin. So right now, sin has no more dominion over God's people who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, the one who condemns sin. So we see Jesus Christ, he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, to complete the righteous requirement of the law. That the righteousness of the law, verse 4 of Romans chapter 8, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we, as God's people, can now walk in righteousness. We can now fulfill the righteous requirement of the law through abiding in the Spirit, through walking in the Spirit, through following and the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to live in us, and he comes to give us that ability to live a righteous life right here on earth. People of God, it's not impossible for us to live righteously. It's not impossible for us to live in victory, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, living in us, who is able to give us that power to resist sin and to walk in righteousness. So people of God, we have help and we have no excuse. Once we have submitted our lives to Jesus Christ, we have no excuse but to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to yield to him and allow him to live this life through us. So we can walk in the righteousness of Christ. We can walk fulfilling, living a life of fulfillment in Christ, living a life that brings honor and glory to his name. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 5, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So Jesus is now saying that all of the law must be fulfilled. And all of the law was fulfilled when he went to the cross and when he paid the penalty for our sin. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God made the sacrifice for us so that today we can live a righteous life in the presence of God because of what Christ has done for us. His word said, not one jot. And a jot is a Hebrew letter for yod, which is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's like an apostrophe. And the tittle is the mark, is like a mark of a pen. So that's what Jesus was saying, that not even the smallest element of the law will pass, but all will be fulfilled. All was fulfilled at the cross for us. When Jesus said, it is finished, the work is completed. The work is completed. The righteous requirement of the law is paid for, is fulfilled. Now the Father is satisfied by this sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. He became the propitiation for our sins. He died for us, that you and I can live righteously. because he lives, we live. He lives in us and with us. And he enables us to live a righteous life in the presence of God. Verse 19 of Matthew chapter 5. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. God's commandment still stands, and we are to teach the word of God and remind God's people that we can live holy and pleasing to God through the Holy Spirit who lives with us and in us. Jesus said in John 16:7, that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. People of God, the Comforter is here. The Helper is here. Our Advocate is here. Our Guide is here. Our Teacher is here. Our Standby is here. We have the Holy Spirit in us to help us. He is here to help us to live a life pleasing to God. He enables us when we are unable, so we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. We do not want to break God's commandments. And we do not want to teach others to do so. Jesus said that whoever does that will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever teaches them shall be called great. We want to teach God's commandments. We want to remind people to adhere to the moral laws of God. We want to live a life holy and pleasing to God. We want to live exemplary lives so that the world will look on and see Christ in us and come to give him glory. We have help, people of God. We are not alone. We can do it. But we have to yield to the Holy Spirit power in our lives. We have to surrender all to him. We have to remind our old nature that we owe it nothing to live after the old ways of life. But we owe Christ everything to live the new life that he has paid for us. He paid for the new life with his own body, with his own blood. He went to the cross and became that ultimate sacrifice for us. Philippians 2 verse 13 tells us, it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God is in us and he's working in us. But we have to cooperate with him so that we can see that effective Christian living being demonstrated in each and every one of us lives. Those of us who are called by the name of Christ, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. But let us not quench him. Let us not grieve him away, but let us yield to him as we go forth from day to day. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 5. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was saying, people of God, that for the kingdom of heaven to be manifested in the lives of the believers, then our righteousness have to be above. It has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the religious rulers in Jesus' time. Their righteousness was self-righteousness. They were just self-righteous, doing all of what they were doing just to be seen of men. They were doing all that they were doing to get the praise from men. So that was self-righteousness. It was all about doing works to please God. But people of God, God has come and he did that work to help us. He did that work on the cross so that we now can come to him by faith, trusting in his Son and having everlasting life through the sacrifice that Christ has made at the cross. So our righteousness is through faith in Christ alone. Our righteousness comes through faith only in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who he is, we have to know who he is and what he has done for us at the cross. So we have to put our faith in who he is and what he has done for us at the cross. Then God's righteousness, once we put our trust in Jesus Christ, then God's righteousness is imputed on us. God's righteousness is placed on us because of our faith in his Son and the sacrifice that his Son has made at the cross. People of God, this is true righteousness. This is true righteousness by placing our faith completely in Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb. Let us know that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and not of our works, lest we should boast. But also we are God's workmanship. Once we place our trust in Christ, we are his masterpiece created unto good works. So because we have placed our trust in the work that Christ has done at the cross for us and in who he is, we now can go forth because we are redeemed, not with silver or gold, but by his precious blood. We can go forth as the redeemed to do good works, bringing honor and glory to his great name. So we see what true righteousness is, putting our trust in Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done at the cross for us. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 5 said, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." So Jesus was saying, you have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. So all of this was written in the law and the commandments, thou shalt not kill. But whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Look at verse 22 of Matthew chapter 5. But I say unto you, Jesus said, I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Jesus was saying that to have anger towards your brother without a cause is a murderous attitude. People of God, it is a murderous attitude, and that person will be in danger of judgment, just like the person who committed murder. People of God, the word of God tells us in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful not to harbor anger towards our brothers. People of God, the word of God says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So that means we shouldn't be harboring anger inside of us. We should be able to reconcile with our brothers and go forth in love. We should walk in love daily, not in hate. The word of God is calling us to love one another, not be angry with our brothers, but be quick to forgive and to reconcile. We don't want to become murderers in the kingdom of God, because when we go forth with that hateful and that angry attitude, Jesus said, this is like a murderous attitude that we have, and we are in danger of judgment. Just like the person who committed the physical act of murder. Whosoever shall call his brother's names. We shouldn't be calling each other's names like Raca, which means empty, worthless, ignorant. We shouldn't be calling our brother's names. We shall be brought before the council. And those who call their brothers a fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Let us be careful that we don't go about calling others fools and let us know that we cannot call our brothers names. We are in danger of going to hell because of all those things that we have in our hearts. Jesus weighs the matters of the heart, people of God. Jesus weighs the matters of the heart. He looks on the heart. The Word of God tells us that men can only see the external. Men look on the outward appearance, but Jesus looks at the heart. We have to stop and examine ourselves each day to see if our hearts are right. And if they are not right, the Word of God tells us in 1 John 1:9, we have to confess our sins. For he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 23 of Matthew chapter 5. The Word of God continues, Jesus continuing his sayings. So therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, verse 24, it says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Jesus was saying that when we come to offer our gift to the Lord, when we come before God to worship and to adore and to offer our gift to him in whichever form that we have to offer our gift in, when we come to offer that gift, and when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, the gift should be left at the altar. It's as plain as that. The gift should be left at the altar, and you go first. Go first and reconcile to your brother. Then come back and offer your gift. The Lord will not honor the gifts that are coming from an impure heart. He will only honor the gift that comes from a pure heart. So if we are holding unforgiveness, if we are in a malice with our brothers, if we are living a life of impurity, first we must go. Make it right. Then we come with our gift to God. We don't just want to bring a gift and it's not accepted. How many of us go with a gift sometimes to someone and they wouldn't accept that gift? How do you feel? We have to stop to think when we go to the Lord. And the Word of God says if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, if our hearts are not pure, his word said that he will not accept the gift. It's just as plain as that. Jesus said, leave the gift and go make it up and come back and offer your gift. That means the gift will not be accepted if it is not coming from a heart that is pure. The Lord is calling us to purity of heart. He's calling us to be like little children. Innocent, transparent, loving, kind, and just be pure before God. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 5 says, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Jesus was speaking on the importance of reconciling quickly to the one who is opposing you. The longer you put it off, the longer you will stay in that spiritual prison. People of God, unforgiveness is a spiritual prison that the enemy has to keep God's people in bondage. And when we come to understand the truth of God, that as we quickly forgive, as we quickly forgive each day as we go along, we have to forgive quickly so that we can stay in a place of freedom. Not one of us would like to be in bondage. No, But the enemy has set that trap for us. It's a trap of the enemy to keep us in that spiritual bondage. So we, the Lord God is reminding us in this lesson to reconcile quickly, make it up quickly, fast. We don't want to be kept in that spiritual prison. We don't want to be in bondage. But we want to walk in the freedom that Christ has provided for us. Let us listen to the voice of Jesus. His word is his voice. Let us listen to the voice of Jesus and make it up quickly while we have time. People of God, let us know that his coming is near. The coming of the Lord is near. And that's why he's sending these words to us. Make it up quickly, for we know not the minute or the hour when he will put in his appearance. Verse 26 of Matthew chapter 5. He said, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out there till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Jesus was saying that you will be kept in that spiritual stronghold until you have fully forgiven those that trespass against you. It's as simple as that. You are going to be kept in that spiritual stronghold. You are going to be kept in that spiritual prison until you have forgiven your brothers fully. Full forgiveness, true forgiveness, comes from the heart. And the Lord is calling us to forgive completely. And remember that he also has forgiven us. Let us have that in the forefront of our minds, that God has forgiven us. And we also must forgive our brothers along this Christian journey. People of God, the Lord is calling us to walk in purity of heart. Our heart should be pure, and we should not be kept in any spiritual bondage, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We want to walk in that freedom that Christ has given us. We want to walk each day in alignment with his word. For his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Oh, his word illuminates our pathway so that we do not stumble. His word is a constant reminder to us as to how we should live in this fallen world. The word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the word that he has spoken to us. And the Holy Spirit is with us and in us, and he enables us. So we want to rely upon the Holy Spirit power in our lives to help us to live this Christian life holy and pleasing to God. He's calling his church to holiness. His word said, without holiness, no man shall see him. So we want to walk in holiness. We want to walk in truth. And we want to walk in love. God bless you here this evening. And we just thank you that you take this time out of your busy schedule to stop to listen to the word of God. And we pray that this word will continue to illuminate your pathway. And we just thank God for who he is and what he's doing in this time. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the evening. May the Lord continue to keep you. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
This is WCNO.